Radio Curathon to cure the blood cancers is tomorrow. So get ready. 24th year we've done this. Annual Radio Curathon. We mix it in with Open Line Friday. So
he should not having to be defending himself. Where's Harry Reid at all this? The Federal Bureau of Land Management should not be there with 200 heavily armed personnel. You have patriots coming from all over the country, freedom fighters, to try to defend this man, unarmed, and his family. Now, earlier, we have sound of where they actually tasered a member of the family. Let's hear that sound of one of the Bundy family members, and you can hear the chaos around it as he is being tasered. Look at that. You are listening. That is sound of the family said their son, Dave Bundy, arrested for taking photos of State Road 170, which was closed by the BLM, Bureau of Land Management. He was aggressively apprehended by officials, failure to comply, multiple requests to leave the temporary area on public lands. Carol Bundy said five agents took their son, threw him on the ground. One put his knee on his head. Is this America? The other put his boot on his head, pushed him into the gravel. He got quite a bruised head, just bruised him up pretty good. BMA defended their actions, BLM, in removing the trespassing cattle. This is who they're going after. Think of the crime in our country. Think of the illegals that come into the country. And they're bothering this guy in Nevada and his family, which has been ranching there for how long? 1870s? And military-style weaponry coming over. The family said they're carrying the same things that soldiers would. Automatic weapons, sniper rifles, top communication, top surveillance equipment, a lot of vehicles, heavy soldier type of equipment. And all because of a tortoise. All of this done because somebody deemed that there was a tortoise on this land and the life of the tortoise, never mind, you would think nature would be able to figure it out and get along together. This is completely unacceptable. We're going to take your phone calls on it. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. We're going to start on line 3 with Rick, who's listening on WAAV in Wilmington, North Carolina. Rick, good afternoon. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, John. You know, it's funny how all the environmentalists that I've gotten into it with, they all have a false premise that man is the only unnatural creature on the planet. So everything starts with man being unnatural. In other words, it's perfectly fine if a lion tackles the last red-striped gazelle on the stelp out there in Africa, but it's not okay if a man goes out there and shoots the exact same gazelle.
Not only that, Rick, thank you for the call. What are they saying here? That it's as if the life of the tortoise is more important than Cliven and his family. You know, they don't care the fact, the government doesn't care the fact that he's been there. Do you know how tough it is to be a rancher in this day and age? That they've been there since 1870, confiscating his cattle, tasering the son, 200 armed militia, armed military. And instead, actually, it's militia that are going out, mobilizing to support this Clark County rancher all over what they say is the endangered tortoise. Line 1, Eric, who's listening to us in Detroit on WJR. Good afternoon, Eric. You're on the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro. Good afternoon, Eric.
Good afternoon. Yeah, you know, it's a shame because, and I know this from a little bit of inside information with Customs and Border Patrol, that they are routinely from inside of our own country where illegal immigrants have come across and then set up posts to assault our agents from within this country. And it's like, you know, maybe if they put the same effort into protecting our federal agents rather than using our federal agents to harass some innocent man who's been ranching on the same land for 50 years. And then the last point I'll make, sir, is this. You have ICE agents suing this administration right now just so they can do their job, but yet you have this heavy-handed government harassing a guy who's been ranching for over 100 years. It's just deplorable. I'm over it.
Thank you for the call, Eric. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-7282. What about in your part of the country? What was maybe a nice park, maybe a nice pond that the family used to go to? Oh, we found an endangered species, or so-called endangered species. No one can go there anymore. In this case, this man, his cattle, they have been there. How long have they been there? His cattle grazing with this tortoise there. But suddenly, he's the villain. He's the one where they're confiscating his cattle. Misty, on line two, is listening to us on KSFO in San Francisco. Misty, good afternoon. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, I wanted to add to the situation. I know about something that's been going on for years and years in reference to the BLM. They have been actually in cahoots with all the ranchers to take all the land from all the wild horses that have been also removed from land all over those states and going to slaughter. And people have been outraged about it, but it doesn't really, you know, get into the headlines because it's an animal. Now, I just think that that's pretty much of a calamity. I mean, you've had BLM going in with helicopters and chasing horses into their death in the middle of when the mares are in foaling season and everything else, and the ranchers have not stood for this because they want the land for their cows. So basically we've got, you know, not just some tortoises, you know, that could going towards extinction. You've got literally wild horses that owned this land before the other people even owned this land. So that to me is a hot spot, and I'd like to know where people, what the real meat of this issue is behind the scenes with the BLM and these wild horses and these ranchers.
Thank you for the call, Misty. What do you think of the federal government? I mean, what are they trying to prove, the federal government? Whose side are you on? The rancher protecting his land, been there, his family since the 1870s, or the government? And why is Harry Reid silent on this? Again, our phone number, 1-855-400-SAVAGE. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. We'll continue with more on the Savage Nation. This is the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. You can be part of the program. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. 7282. The battleground is Nevada. You have the last rancher, Clark County, Nevada. Him, his family, wife, son under attack. They've been raising cattle on their land since 1870, except it's very different right now as they have 200 snipers out from their land because the Bureau of Land Management says, what is the crime that Clive and Bundy has committed? His cattle is grazing on land that they're trying to protect the life of endangered tortoise. Let's hear. This is Clive and Bundy in his own words.
The desert tortoise is a circuit animal for all of the other excuses for the bureaucracies to control. The desert tortoise does use the same habitat, uses the same type of feed as livestock, so they could be intercounters there. In other words, my cattle ate all the feed, or the tortoise ate all the feed, but that's not the case here on this desert. It's impossible to use up the feed for the desert tortoise.
He's exactly right. I was reading a great article about this same type of thing. What about in your community, somewhere you remember, where suddenly an entire, whether this man's livelihood, they've been there, and instead an endangered species is threatening that? And they talk about, how about the entire timber industry Oregon, destroyed in the late 1980s. Why? Spotted owl. How about during the Carter administration? Tennessee Valley Authority forced to modify a bin in billions to protect the snail darter. Or even in Southern California. Why? What happened where they had to watch farmers' crops wilter? Subspecies of smelt. Let's go to your calls. Barry, on line one, is calling from Fort Myers, Florida. Barry, you're on the Savage Nation.
The federal government has just gotten too large, totally out of control. The federal government, we're supposed to be a country of states, and the federal government is only supposed to be involved with commerce and foreign security of this country. They have completely changed the state, that made the states absolutely, not protected. And I think we're getting down to a couple of alternatives here. I mean, people are getting really angry. And one is we go back to the Constitution from an elected process where we get the right people in. And I'm not talking about Democrats, Republicans. I'm talking about people that believe in the Constitution as intended by the Founding Fathers, not what they call the Constitution today. Or it is going to be, seriously, and this is not a joke, this is going to be a revolution. Because I read the Declaration of Independence, and let me tell you something, we're just about there.
Well, right now, I mean, militia from around the country are heading out to help this rancher and his family. Eric, on line three, is listening on WMAL. Eric, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, John. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, I'm a true patriotic American. I'm not a militia member. It's not to say I don't believe in militias, because I am myself an individual freedom fighter. I just wonder, as long as these militia members that are going to help Mr. Bundy out, as long as they stay within the confines of the law, and they show up, in the event that there might be some bloodshed there, what kind of a bad rap is that going to give the militia members and the militia groups throughout?
Hey, forget about the bad rap on the militia. How about the bad rap on the Bureau of Land Management? 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Bird is a kind of list called the sage grouse, and they estimate there's 80,000 of them in Nevada, which doesn't sound very endangered or threatened to me. But again, it's an example of federal government trying to take over our land. You know, they already control 85% of it. They're slowly but surely trying to squeeze all the people, the ranchers, the miners, even in this case, the hunters, off of the public domain.
Assemblyman Hanson, will you take some phone calls for us?
Sure. You know, I actually did talk radio for 6 years here.
All right. It sounds it. You sound very well equipped. Let's start with Claudia, who's listening on KKOH in Reno, Nevada. Claudia, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead, Claudia.
Hi, Ira and John. The one thing that I want to say is, I think it's all about the water. I think that the BLM has been bankrupting people, ranches, out of business by taking away their ability to graze and stuff, and so that they can turn around and grab the property for cost due, like the $1 million that they're trying to bill Bundy. And then they sell the ranch, but they strip off the water rights.
What about it, Assemblyman Hanson? Thank you for the call, Claudia.
You're completely right. In Nevada, the federal government is not allowed to own water rights, but they keep trying to come up with ways to, essentially through administrative regulations, force the ranchers to turn over their water to the federal people. So she's completely right, although I don't think that... In this case, I don't think that's the bigger issue. Here's the thing about Clive and Bundy, John, just so you know. He's been fighting these guys for over a decade, like a decade and a half, and he's become a folk hero, okay? People like me, the heck out of the guy, because he has the guts to basically, you know, give the bird to the big, nasty eagle coming down to try to put him out of business.
And the table for one salute. Let's go to Gina, who's listening on line 8 in Las Vegas, KBET. Gina, You're up with Councilman Ira Hansen. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. Hello, Gina.
Hi. I've lived here in Las Vegas for some years, and this doesn't have anything to do with any tortoise. This guy has not paid his grazing rights on federal land for 20 years. They've done everything to try and get this guy to pay his land grazing fees, and he won't do it. And this, I don't know who concocted the tortoise story, but that's what the bottom line is. This guy doesn't think he has to pay for grazing rights like everybody else does. Thank you.
What do you say to that, Ira?
I say he's been in protest for a lot of years, and that is part of the bigger picture. But look, if you and I didn't pay a bill for a while, did they normally send 200 cops to collect?
Never. No.
No. No. No. It absolutely is an attempt to intimidate everybody from challenging me. Just so you know, he is in Clark County, okay?
That's yep.
Vegas. That's the Harry Reid hometown area. And they have essentially eliminated all public land grazers from Clark County. They're gone. And Bundy's like the last of the remnant. I mean, if he in fact acknowledged that the Bureau of Land Management, you know, that they had control of all his grazing allotments, he would be out of business. Because what they've done is shut every single one of those guys down based on that tortoise issue. And here's the irony of that. Tortoise population is doing so well in Clark County. I also serve on the Legislative Commission here in Nevada. We just passed a law, believe it or not, but I voted against it. It's now a crime in Clark County to allow your domesticated tortoises to reproduce. They have way too many of them. They do great in urban settings. And there are literally tens of thousands of them in the city of Las Vegas itself. And then the other issue that comes up on that is we have a huge problem over here with ravens. The ravens are actually, the populations have gone up like 300% last decade, and ravens eat desert tortoise eggs and the little turtles. So that's another whole angle. And again, you can't do anything about it because the Bureau of Land Management refuses to acknowledge that predator control is necessary in helping to recover the desert tortoise populations.
1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-7282. Let's go out to line 7. Tom is listening in Albuquerque. He's listening on KKOB. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, John, thank you. I served on an Army team out in the Mojave Desert and fought the BLM. So I'll tell you, it is the BLM. They wouldn't even take the science we used. We used fiber optics. We used the best research scientists out of the universities that knows tortoise. And we proved to them that their calculations were wrong and that they were basically blocking land so no one else could use it. And it was purely federal land. So this is not just a federal issue. This is a BLM issue that's been there since way before the 90s. The BLM does not kowtow to anybody. They don't use science, and they really need to be held accountable for this one.
What do you say to that, too?
Hey, man.
Our guest is Nevada State Assemblyman Ira Hansen. Go ahead, Assemblyman Hansen.
Well, I agree with him completely. I think it's a huge issue here in the state of Nevada because the BLM basically runs most of the land mass here. So before we can do anything, I mean, it takes in Nevada. Now, we have a huge unemployment problem in Nevada, and yet we have all these mines that have been trying to open it. We have a lot of gold and silver here, and these mines try to open. The average salary in the mining industry in Nevada is $85,000, yet it takes over 10 years to get through the federal permitting process. So I got all these people in my district that are desperate for work and jobs, and I got an industry that's desperate to open a mine, and I can't get the damn federal government to issue permits to allow these people to employ thousands of Nevadans who would love an $85,000 a year job. So that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with over here.
Chris on line 1 is listening in Detroit on great radio station WJR. Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much. What I'm curious about is who trespassed on this guy's property to find out that there's even an endangered tortoise on there to begin with? Where's the issue of this of these person or people trespassing, and why do they know?
What about that, Ira?
Well, the thing is, a good portion of Cliven's allotments are not private. Okay, they he basically leases it from the BLM. So it is still public domain. So I don't know if it actually walked onto his personal property. I don't even know how many acres the man owns down there. But that's not really an issue. They're not trespassing per se, unless they've actually gone onto his own zones. And I haven't heard a complaint along those lines. But
his wife said that, you know, they're unarmed. Mrs. Bundy said they're unarmed, yet they 200 agents that are armed and they have snipers on them. And again, that is what is so outrageous about this whole thing. You're talking about cattle. You're talking about confiscating this man's cattle and taking that type of approach. How can they take such a heavy-handed approach towards someone that ultimately, I mean, let's look at this. You have cattle. He's trying to make a living. As you've said, he's a folk hero, last man standing. I mean, it is beyond outrageous that this man and his family are being treated in this way.
Well, I agree. Not only that, here's the other thing that's very frustrating. The Attorney General for the state of Nevada should be aggressively demanding that our citizens' rights be protected. And obviously, as Mr. Bundy is discovering, our own state government is kind of like, well, they're officially saying, we don't like this, we're complaining. All you got to do is go to court and say, tell you what, you guys keep doing this to Clive and Bundy, And you're going to get sued by the state of Nevada, and we're going to take you to our own court system, not your court system, and we're going to protect the rights, including the property rights, of Mr. Bundy. And if you guys are so worried about that $1 million he allegedly owes you, how many hundreds of thousands did you have to spend to put 200 agents and all equipment? You know, this is like Waco Jr. here in the state of Nevada. It's crazy.
Glenn in New Jersey listening. On WABC, Glenn, you're up next. This is John DePietro sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Hello, Glenn.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call, John.
Welcome.
When the federal government wants something, they'll do anything they can to take it. There's an issue in New Jersey right now about a deed that was filed by the Department of Interior as a sale of property. And the person who sold it to the United States did not own the property, and this was became a federal lawsuit, and the judge ruled through summary judgment that the sale was good, and these people have lost their land, and that's what's happened in New Jersey, and it's really disgusting to see what's going on, especially what now that I'm seeing what's going on with this BLM thing, you know.
That's exactly right, Glenn. Thank you for the call. Ira, where is this going to lead? Have you, are people reaching out to Cliven and his family? I mean, there's got to be a way to work this out instead of 200 armed agents surrounding this man and his family. A member of the family was tasered. This heavy-armed Fed surrounding the ranch, taking his cattle. I mean, where could this go?
Well, ideally, it would go to the court system if our attorney don't have the guts to fight this thing out. I don't know what the long-term solution is other than for people like Clive and Bundy to get the moral support from people like yourself, Mike Savage, and get the word out there. We need some help out here in the West. We are being absolutely overrun by the federal government, who are slowly but surely doing to Clive and, what they're doing to Clive and Bundy, they've been doing to the entire state, particularly the rural parts of Nevada. So it's a huge, huge problem out here in the West, and I'm just so thankful to hear you and Mike and other people bring this to the United States' attention. And by the way, even though we're from Nevada, Harry Reid's a joke. We can't stand the guy.
Well, that's why. Let me take one more for Ira. Joe is calling from Boise. He's listening on KBOI. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me on the air, John. And Ira, it's nice to talk to you, fellow Nevada. I'm actually a rancher in northeastern Nevada, and I do have one question. Where on earth is Senator Reid with all this? Because the man who's supposed to be protecting all the little men really isn't doing a whole lot.
That's a good question. Where is Harry Reid in all this, Ira?
He couldn't care less about the rural Nevada. I got news for you. If he could eliminate all the... He already eliminated every single rancher in Clark County with the exception of Cliven. But this guy doesn't care one diddly damn about the average rancher or miner in the state of Nevada. If he did, this would have never happened. He is
right.
The most powerful ranking senator in Nevada history, and he now is the majority leader of the United States Senate. And you don't think the BLM didn't clear this with him before he went and did it?
That's exactly right. Ira Hansen, Nevada State Assembly, thank you for joining us on the Savage Nation. We're going to take a quick break, come back with more of your phone calls. 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
1-855-400-7282. 7282. That is the phone number. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and this is the Savage Nation. Line 3, Taylor, is listening in Oakland on KFSO. Taylor, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah,
hey. KSFO. Go right ahead, Taylor.
Yeah, listen, this how it is right now. I voted for Obama, okay? I've been a lifelong Democrat, and I can't believe what's going on under this man. I made a big mistake. I've been fooled. I understand that. But now we got to realize something right now. This getting ridiculous with this this thing in Nevada, okay? Because let me tell you why. The police is against the people no matter what, okay? The police been against the people. 9 out of 10 police officers is bad people. And I'm going to tell you right now.
Well, I don't believe that.
Want to do something even
nope.
worse.
Taylor, it's not a matter of that. Taylor, thank you for the call. But it's not a matter of that. I'll tell you where. First of all, it's federal agents, but where they should be is in San Francisco. San Francisco International Airport photo in an Al-Qaeda magazine raises terrorism concerns. That's right. The spring issue of the Al-Qaeda magazine Inspire is a picture of the AirTran at San Francisco Airport featured prominently. And what does the FBI say? Well, you know, we're not that concerned. There's no direct threat to the San Francisco airport or the Bay Area, but the San Francisco area is depicted in this Al-Qaeda publication. And what does the caption say in Arabic? Stand up. Pack your tools of destruction. Assemble your bomb ready for detonation. Now, if you remember with the Boston Marathon bombing, they use instructions, same magazine, to build those homemade pressure cooker bombs. That's what the government and the FBI should be concerned about. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and this is the Savage Nation.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro sitting in for the one and only irreplaceable Dr. Michael Savage with you on the Savage Nation. You can go to our website, michaelsavage.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's John DePietro Radio, no eyes, DePetro. On Twitter. We're going to talk. I'm going to play you some sound of Eric Holder in just a moment. But I want to be one of the first ones to say I cannot believe that Stephen Colbert has been chosen to succeed David Letterman on The Late Show. And why do I say that? Because he is Mr. Equality. What does he always preach? Mr. Equality. There needs to be more equality. America filled with inequality. And who replaces Letterman? Who does Colbert, the progressive left? Who replaces David Letterman? Another white male heterosexual. And believe me, there are plenty of people. The diversity police are all upset. What's also interesting about the Colbert thing is the fact that CBS says we're very anxious to see who he's going to be because he's no longer going to be the character that he's been on his show. Well, that'll be refreshing. Good. Well, Colbert will not stay in character when he takes over The Late Show. We'll have to find out exactly who he's going to be. He's been playing a conservative when he's actually a member of the progressive left and does it all under the guise of comedy. So we'll have to find. I can't believe that's who has been chosen. So now this is an opportunity to fully insult the country on a weeknight basis on CBS at 11:30, as they make fun of everything that the country stands for. So you think there would have been more diversity. There isn't. You're disappointed. Three people I can't stand. He's one of them. The other one is Jon Stewart, and the other one is Bill Maher. None of those three are funny. I don't find them funny. None of them have ever said anything that I thought was funny. And Colbert now gets the lead to replace Letterman. Speaking of not funny, Attorney General Eric Holder, he was not funny, accusing congressional critics of launching unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly, divisive attacks on him and the Obama administration. Is this another example? Is he actually once again crying race? As he did a speech to the National Action Network. What's that the organization of? Oh, that's right. FBI rat, Reverend Al Sharpton, who should be in jail. What a disgrace. Yeah, of course he was an FBI. Oh, yeah. He wasn't an FBI informant. He was just helping them. He was just trying to get a G-Man badge. Yeah, no, Sharpton wasn't in the middle of anything. He was just trying to be a good citizen and help them. That's who MSNBC puts on. Yeah, that explains a lot. But Eric Holder, and he had basically a meltdown. Sparks flying. Let's hear. This is cut six. You would expect a little more professional behavior. Now keep in mind, he's the Attorney General. President Obama is obviously the president. And they're still screaming over the treatment that they've had to deal with. Saying no attorney general has ever had to deal with tough type of treatment. No president has ever had to deal with the type of treatment. Let's hear. This is one of the exchanges. Cut six on Capitol Hill.
That contempt is not a big deal to our attorney general, but it is important that we have proper oversight. So
you don't want to go there, okay?
I don't want to go there?
No.
About the contempt?
You should not assume that that is not a big deal to me. I think that it was inappropriate. I think it was unjust. But never think that that was not a big deal to me. Don't ever think that.
That was your attorney general with Representative Louis Gohmert. Can you believe even just the don't go there, buddy? Who even talks that way? You're on Capitol Hill. You're the attorney general. Don't go there. Buddy is the way that he addresses him. Now let's hear. This is cut seven, where Holder suggests that House Republicans are racist because they've been tough in the hearing.
I am pleased to note that the last 5 years have been defined by significant strides and by lasting reforms, even in the face of unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly, and divisive adversity.
Listen to the crowd chanting in the background. 1-855-400-7282. Attorney General Holder, the reason why people feel the way they do towards you and our president, I don't believe it has to do with race. I think it has to do with the incompetency in the office, with the lack of telling the truth. And at this point and stage of the game, to suddenly start screaming about race and the heavy-handed approach after he stands side by side with, as the New York Post called him, Reverend Rat, Al Sharpton, in speaking at his group. Let's hear cut eight. And again, this is Holder again, complaining over the treatment that he and the president have had to deal with.
If you don't believe that, you look at the way, and forget about me. You look at the way the Attorney General of the United States was treated yesterday by a House committee. Had nothing to do with me. Forget that. What Attorney General has ever had to deal with that kind of treatment? Right. What president has ever had to deal with that kind of treatment?
Now, that's in front of the crowd now, a speech to the National Action Network. Their efforts, supposedly to advance racial equality, went off script, screaming about that. The problems that this administration has faced, and yet they keep coming back to race. How many people listening right now, where you have disagreements with Attorney General Holder or with President Obama? And why with these guys does it always have to be about race? And even screaming when he's being questioned, as he did. And I want to actually replay that again in cut six, where again the exchange back and forth, where you don't want to go there, buddy. What? And you can hear the representative, like, are you talking to me? You don't want to go there? Are you talking to me? Yeah, you don't want to go there, buddy. What is that supposed to mean? Let's hear cut six again. This is on Capitol Hill, where Attorney General Holder is being questioned.
That contempt is not a big deal to our Attorney General, but it is important that we have proper oversight. So,
you don't want to go there, okay?
I don't want to go there?
No.
About the contempt?
You should not assume that that is not a big deal to me. I think that it was inappropriate. I think it was unjust. But never think that that was not a big deal to me. Don't ever think that.
You know, what's amazing is when the Attorney General, don't ever think that. You don't want to go there, buddy, over the contempt citation. But then when he was in front of the National Action Network, which he spoke to Reverend Ratt, Al Sharpton's organization, Sharpton, of course, revealed to be a mob informant, just trying to do his citizen duty, saying, oh, he wasn't doing anything illegal. No, I was trying to go after the mob. Yeah, I was trying to help the FBI go after the mob. Not that I was ever involved in anything. You think of Tawana Brawley. How much credibility does Sharpton have? And as if now we're supposed to believe that he was just being a good citizen in helping the FBI. Listen how Holder changes his whole tune, tries to play to the crowd, and once again, playing the race card, screaming that, is that the reason? When does it ever end? Is that the reason why you have a poor opinion of the Attorney General? Is that why you have a poor opinion of President Obama? Can anyone disagree with this administration without it being about race? Boy, when in doubt, talk about when in Rome, you're in front of Sharpton and his crew, then just play to the crowd. No one's ever endured this before. Think what Nixon went through when he was impeached. Think what President Bush went through, being called a war criminal. And yet no one's gotten it easier than this president. And yet Attorney General of the United States playing the race card. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Is that what it's about? Do you think, is that why people give the president a hard time? Is that why people are critical of Attorney General Eric Holder? Let's go to line one. This is John listening on station WMAL in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. John, you're on the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro. Hello, John.
Hey, John, thanks for the call. Great show. I just want to comment. The last I checked, Lois Lerner and Kathleen Sebelius are not of a certain race that seems to feel like they get picked on. I think that we have to raise the fact that it's the administration. It's not a certain race. If we bring David Axelrod or Hillary Clinton, I mean, is that race? I mean, the next thing you know they're going to say is that that people are getting gender bashed, or that they're after females, or they're after a certain type of group. I mean, when is this going to stop? When they can't take responsibility for their actions and use that as an excuse rather than standing up and facing the fact that they are not being held accountable for their actions is disrespect. I mean, Holder is completely disrespectful in those cuts. And for a person to not even have the respect for Congress when he's sitting in front of them, and to speak like that and then say that he's being racism against him, I don't get it.
I agree with you, John. Thank you for the call. Do you think, has this president and Eric Holder, have they faced unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly, and divisive adversity? Is that what this has been about? You want to talk about someone who's gotten a free ride, complete free ride. Yet in his eyes, unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly and divisive adversity. Let's go to line three. Mike is listening in Las Vegas on KBET. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation.
Look, the racial accusation is so phony, because if Alan West, Tim Scott, or Ben Carson ran for public office as they did, they get overwhelming Republican support. It has absolutely nothing to do with race. It has to do with ideology. It has to do with a disagreement in the marketplace of ideas. And as soon as people who don't have an argument run out of any type of defense, they drop the race card. It becomes an ad hominem attack. It becomes a personal attack. It's the accusation of cowards. It's the accusations of people who run out of ideas. And I have the same conversation with whites who ideologically identify with Barack Obama. I don't agree with them. I don't agree with them because their ideology matches his. Give me Alan West. Give me Ben Carson. Give me Tim Scott any day of the week, and I would absolutely, as would the overwhelming majority of Republicans, support them in any run that they had for public office. And they are African-American, but they are conservative Republicans, and that's why we would back them, and that's why we disagree with clowns like Holder and Obama.
Mike, thank you for the call. Now, if you agree with Eric Holder, if you agree with Eric Holder that this president, that this attorney general has faced unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly divisiveness. If you agree, I will give you the time to make your argument. Of all the people listening coast to coast, 10 million listeners, there must be someone saying, that's exactly right. I will give you a chance to make your argument. 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. We'll continue your phone calls on the Savage Nation. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-7282. You're listening to the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro, DePTRO, sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. Attorney General Eric Holder rips Congress. Unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly, and divisive. Let's hear Cut 7. This is Eric Holder, your attorney general, during a speech in front of Reverend Rat, Al Sharpton, National Action Network in New York. Let's hear Attorney General Holder.
I am pleased to note that the last 5 years have been defined by significant strides and by lasting reforms, even in the face of unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly, and divisive adversity.
I don't agree with that. Line 2, Michael is calling from Huntsville, Alabama, listening on WVNN. Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Holder and likes of the president. Not so much Holder, I guess, but the president. And when he was in the State of the Union, the guy jumped up and said, "You are a lie." No president had to endure that in the State of the Union address with so much anger and resentment. And that's exactly what I'm seeing here. And then when you guys talk about race and stuff and how the things give the racism weight, what gives racism weight is the ignoring of racism. I think that whenever these people, the Republicans, no matter who you are in the world, if you are practicing racism, if everybody stick together and attack these people, then we will have no reason to go toward the racism or pull the race card.
But Michael, why can't someone disagree with President Obama without being challenged in that way? And what about when that representative congressman called him a liar? Maybe he was a liar. Maybe he is a liar. He was lying. Why does that have to be? Why does it have to then be because it's about race?
Because no other president has ever endured it. Bush was lying. Everybody lied. I don't think any politician up there ever told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Not true. Bush did not lie. We were much safer under President Bush, both of them. 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. More of your phone calls coming up. This is the Savage Nation. One 855-400-7282 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Our website, michaelsavage.com. You're listening to the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro with the unique pleasure of sitting in for the irreplaceable one and only Dr. Michael Savage. Eric Holder claiming his tenure, your attorney general, his tenure, President Obama, unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly, and divisive. That's what the attacks on him have been. Isn't it getting old? Always playing the race card. Never mind playing the race card in front of, who is he speaking in front of? The National Action Network in New York. Let's see. Who runs that? Oh, that's right. That would be, as the New York Post called him, Reverend Rat. Reverend Al Sharpton, the current G-Man. I wonder if the FBI was concerned about the Tawana Brawley lies that ruined lives. And then Sharpton continued to say, well, you know, it was true because I believed it to be true. As long as I believed it to be true, it couldn't be a lie. You know, you wonder why the FBI had some of the problems in Boston with Whitey Bulger, other problems that they've had. No wonder Hoover was wearing a dress, having Sharpton as one of your informants. Not that he was doing anything wrong, just that he wanted to make sure, you know, it was so important to go after organized crime. And as someone with an Italian last name, DiPietro, it is so offensive that that was more important than anything. That other people like a Sharpton get a free pass. So important to bring down Giganti, Gambino, and the rest of them. Things were a lot safer. Are we better off now that the mob has been broken up? Hardly. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Line 1 is Marie, who's listening on WABC, the powerhouse in New York. Marie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. President Obama was, by design, actually, Hillary Clinton should have gotten the Democratic nod. But because he was black, they put him up because no one's going to question him. He can use his pen and his phone and be arrogant. And any time anyone questions, they can call them a racist. It's all a setup, but the sad part is that the black people had a chance to have a mentor, a leader, someone to really actually look up to and help them, and he actually failed his and used his own people. That's the sad part.
Well, thank you for the call, Marie. You know, I don't know. I don't think people focus on race as much as the attorney general or even the president, for that matter. Lead us to believe, and certainly not, if someone is sitting there unemployed, do you think they sit around saying it's because we have the first African-American president? People don't care about that. People want to provide for their family. They want to save money to send their kids to college. Why they seem to focus on race? Anything that doesn't seem to go their way seems to focus on race. First of all, I don't think Eric Holder should have been speaking in front of Sharpton and his group, and let alone once he does, he starts to play the race card. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Why couldn't it be that just maybe he did a lousy job? Or the attitude and the way he conducted himself on Capitol Hill, screaming with the, hey, buddy, don't go there. What is that supposed to mean? You know, it's not, as far as the president, who is it that made a fool? It's not our fault that David Ortiz made a fool of the president, who didn't seem to be in on the joke that there was money involved with the selfie. It was his own poor staff that did that, and the foolishness they've carried on, whether it be all the different scandals that have hit the White House. There seems to be no accountability at all, and that's what it should come back to, is just basically accountability in that way. Ron on line 6 is listening on WSBA. Ron, you're on the Savage Nation. This is John DiPietro. Hello, Ron.
Good afternoon, Mr. John. How are you?
Very well. Go right ahead, Ron.
I just wanted to make two little points. One is that with Al Sharpton as CI number 7, so to speak, you know, put this picture in your mind, Al Sharpton undercover in drag. Okay.
Do I have to?
No, you'll never get it out of your head now.
Be an extra large.
The thing I wanted to say was it doesn't come down to race. It comes down to the utter contempt that anybody in this administration has for anybody that questions them. All we ask is that the people we appoint be competent.
That's right.
See nothing but contempt in return.
And that is exactly right.
In 5 years, I have heard race brought out more than I ever had anymore. It doesn't have to do with a black attorney general or a black president. It has to do with this is the easy out. This is our way to shut people up. We'll throw race. The one person on the House floor that hollered that Obama was a liar. Now, he was saying something straight out. He'd been in the administration, what, a year or two?
Yes.
So this was all new. What have we seen since then? You can keep your health care plan. You can keep your doctor. That you will be saving $2,500 a year. All of these were lies. And nobody wants to use the lie word because they're afraid of being branded a racist.
That is exactly right, Ron, and thank you for the call. And look around the country. I mean, look how Democrats running for office want to distance themselves from the president. He got his way. He got Obamacare. And what is it? It's been a complete disaster. Even his own party deem it a disaster. No one wants to run with that. No one wants to be linked in with that. Does that make them all racist then? 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Let's hear a little bit more. First, I want to play Cut 6. And again, just to set the scene, this was Attorney General Holder on Capitol Hill. He's speaking with Representative Gohmert. And listen to, he obviously doesn't like what's being said to him. So what I want you to hear is he then starts to shout out, "Don't go there, buddy. Don't go there." And first of all, I hate that expression, "Don't go there." You know, as if you're Tony Soprano trying to curb one of his underlings, not to bring something up. I don't even like that expression anyway, let alone this is a member of Congress. Let's hear Cut 6. This is Eric Holder with this whole business of the "don't go there, buddy."
That contempt is not a big deal to our attorney general, but it is important that we have proper oversight. So,
you don't want to go there, okay?
I don't want to go there?
No.
About the contempt?
You should not assume that that is not a big deal to me. I think that it was inappropriate. I think it was unjust. But never think that that was not a big deal to me. Don't ever think that.
You know what I love about that is the representative is completely unaware of the expression of "don't go there." Like, what? I don't go where? Like, am I leaving? Like, what are you talking about? You're the attorney general. Don't go there? What is next? Am I your dog? I mean, what is this? We're in Capitol Hill. How about a little decorum? I guess this is what we get from the selfie administration. And then he turns around and in front of the Sharpton crowd starts saying that no one has faced more opposition. How about Bush and Cheney? What they went through. And even go back. What Nixon went through. Did anybody get beat up more and tortured more than President Nixon? And that's their idea. So anyone that gives them a hard time questions them. Here we go again. The race card is out again. Let's go to line 5. Eddie is calling from New Jersey. He's listening on the Powerhouse, WABC. Eddie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say that, this whole race card thing is a weapon. It's a threat. It's basically anything to get their own way. And it's pretty much a crutch. You know, it's the only argument that they have that can shut people up. So what we have to do, really, is to take this argument and pretty much make it, to just neutralize it somehow, you know?
Well, thank you for the call, Eddie. You know, that is common. And you can go to, different analogies. An NBA team on the road in the last 2 minutes, every foul goes against them, and they just shrug their shoulders. That's what it's like. You can't break it out. But I think it's interesting that Eric Holder's, even his mindset, that they look at this as unprecedented. You know what's been unprecedented? Is the free pass that this president of the administration has gotten from the media. That it's only in the second term that he's actually started to be questioned about the failure of Obamacare, about the failure with the IRS. No one has gotten more of a free pass than this administration. Let's go to line 2. Keith is calling from Virginia, listening on great station, WMAL. Keith, it's John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, Keith.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Go right ahead, Keith.
The reason for my call is that from day one, when President Obama stepped into office, Republican was they declared that President Obama be a one-time president. Now, what was the reason? I mean, my thing is, what's the reason for someone declaring him to be a one-time president if it wasn't any kind of racial underlining?
Keith, why is that racial when the opposition party always wants to then retake the White House? And I would expect that if Mitt Romney had won that election, which it's too bad he should have, but that then the Democrats would have been saying, let's hope we're going to make him a one-term president. You're almost illustrating the point. So you think, Keith, and be honest now, and I give you credit, at least you called in, but you believe that the reason why the Republicans felt that way towards the president was based on race.
Well, here's the thing right here. With all the administrators, all the presidents before President Obama, I have never seen anything come out of anybody's mouth saying, hey, I'm going to make this person a one-time president. Only from the Republicans.
Well, you go back to, Keith, thank you for the call. I mean, come on, go back to President Bush 41. When he lost, it's too bad because of Ross Perot. He lost in 1992. I mean, I liked President Bush a lot. And then you go back to 2004. What was Senator John Kerry? They were all screaming, you know, Bush won and done. But what's amazing to me is just that's the way some people look at it. That's the reason why they're saying that is because it comes back into a race situation. And I don't even know. I mean, is Sharpton now? Is he going to claim that's why people are being rough on him because of the whole situation being Reverend Rat? Is because it has nothing to do with race. But just speaking of that, I mean, I know a lot about the FBI. I know I've covered a lot of trials and people that have been involved with them. I don't know of anyone that didn't somehow find themselves in the crosshairs of the FBI where then they were forced to cooperate or they were going to do time or they were going to face a penalty. I've never heard of just people freely going and saying, I'm going to work and cooperate with the FBI. And certainly not someone like Sharpton. I mean, what does it say to the FBI? They were trusting him with that after the outrageousness of the whole Tawana Brawley thing. I'm not going to relive that. But it's just, you can't have it both ways. Let's go to line six. Tim is listening in Dallas on a great radio station, WBAP. Tim, this is John DePietro. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go right ahead. Not a problem. We'll go to line four. Gary is listening in New York on WABC. Gary, you're on the Savage Nation.
If you would like...
Oh, all right. Minor problem with Gary. Let's go to line one. Ed is in New Jersey listening on WABC. Ed's on the Savage Nation with John DePietro. Hi, Ed.
Good afternoon. I'm going to make it brief because I'm going to try to do a quick reference. There was a book by Richard Price called Clockers. It also became a movie. There was a scene in the movie and the book where a detective gave a ticket to people sitting on a porch drinking beer. Another detective said, why are you doing that? You know, you got to understand these kind of, you know, what's going on here. He said, listen, we all have to go by the same rules. And to hold minority people by a lower standard than one would hold the majority is the worst form of discrimination and condescension.
Ed, thank you for the call. 1-855-400-7282. It's John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855.
One 855-400-7282. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Talking about comments made by your Attorney General, Eric Holder, and also referring to himself and President Obama, saying no one has faced unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly divisiveness. That's how they view it. Kenny on line three is listening in Connecticut on WABC. Kenny, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Great show you're doing here, filling in for the Savage.
If you go back to Tawana Brawley just quickly, it was actually the Three Stooges. Sharpton was there, and he had two affirmative action lawyers who were very prominent, very militant with him. And as soon as they found out that he was wearing a wire, you never saw those two militant affirmative action lawyers around him again. They jumped off.
Oh. Thank you for the call, Kenny. 1-855-400-7282. That was the big revelation, obviously. How about the fact the Attorney General, Eric Holder, still goes and speaks in front of the Reverend Al Sharpton group? Ralph is calling from New York. Ralph is also listening on WABC. Ralph, you're on the Savage Nation. Hello, Ralph.
You know, John, the comment by Holder, "Don't go there," is street talk. I despise it like you do. It's unnecessary and inappropriate for that scenario there. But here's the deal. There is a certain faction of people that hate this man, that hate is strong, that dislike this man because of his race. To deny that would be the same, you go on the same lines of denying the fact that many love him because they identify with him because he is of their race. You know, I'm in a business here, John. I'm an actor here in New York. And no matter what Obama does in my circle here, he can do no wrong. He can rob a bank in the middle of the...
I don't know. A lot of people feel they've been robbed. Thank you for the call. Remember the website, michaelsavage.com. This is John DePietro in for Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
1-855-400-SAVAGE, 1-855-400-7282. If you can hear my voice and you'd like to call into the program. This is John DePietro. DePetro, no ice, sitting in for the one and only Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Remember, our website is michaelsavage.com, and you can follow me on Twitter. It's John DePietro Show on Twitter. Great news from the Wall Street Journal. I think this is great news. More moms staying home, reversing decade-long decline. After decades of decline, the share of mothers who stay home with their children has steadily risen over the last several years, a new report has found. And I say, finally, it is about time. This is how it should work. If you're listening right now, and especially if you're a mother, you know, it's good news if any parent, if a parent is home. But if you're a parent, and you're a mother, and you put your children in daycare, why? Now, I understand. There are some people, someone will say, John, listen, I have no choice. We have to put our child in daycare. We can't afford it. My wife needs a job. I need the job. I understand that. But what this report found is there's a large percentage of people who don't need the money. That's what it's about. It's about the money. So finally, more moms staying home after they were misled by certain groups. You can have it all. You don't need to be home. Parents should be home with their children. You make sacrifices. And I'm not just talking the talk. As the father of three, we made a decision for my wife to stay home and not work. And what do you end up with? Calm, well-behaved, happy, well-adjusted children. How many of you listening and your children are on some kind of prescription drug? Is there someone listening? You have that beautiful little child that you've waited for, and then what? After 3 months, 4 months, you drop the child off with a stranger and go into work, hurry up in the morning, wake the child up, rush, 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 hurry, come on, get dressed, hurry, We got to get out the door. We got to get to daycare. Drop her off, him off. Now I'm rushing to the office, then rush to pick them up. Now we got to rush home. Now I got to make dinner. And then rush to put him to bed. It's wrong. You wonder why we have so many kids that are screwed up, that aren't adjusted, that have to then be on medication. If you are a parent, someone, ideally the mother, I know no one wants to tell you that, but it's true. And maybe you're listening. If you stayed home and made sacrifices, share your story with us. 1-855-400-7282. First-time callers are welcome. I'll bet there are plenty of women listening that made the decision, no, we waited to have this child. I'm going to stay home. There's nothing like a young child who wakes up when they wake up. How many of you listening had to wake up your child this morning, throw them in the car, throw clothes on them, drop them off at the daycare? Oh, yeah, that's great. A germ-infested house or room of strangers filled with germs. Then you wonder why they get every germ that comes down the pike. Do you think they're going to care for your child the way you would? All right, ideal situation, the parents are home. The mother is home. Maybe there's some of you listening. All right, maybe a grandparent or a relative. The ideal situation, the child, the infant, belongs being nurtured, loved, comforted by their mother. This is such great news from the Wall Street Journal. More moms staying home, reversing decades-long decline. It is about time. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. I recognize it's not easy. I recognize things are expensive. You have to make sacrifices. You're listening right now. You drive an older car. You don't live in a big McMansion. You don't go on big vacations, but you're there when it counts. You're there when the child wakes up in the morning. You're with your child more than anyone else. That's the way it should be. Enough of this foolishness, throwing them in the car, throwing them with a stranger. You can have it all. You can't. You end up with children that can't behave, who are disjointed, who are rushed from day one. That is not the way children should be treated. You waited your whole life. You want to talk about selfishness? Is your husband making you work and do this? Tell him you want to live in a smaller home. Tell him you want to... There are people that have breakdowns. They hate their job. They become resentful. Why? Because you want to be home with your child. Line two is Jason, listening in Kentucky. Jason, you're on the Savage Nation. Hello, Jason.
Hey, thank you. My problem is with the Republican Party. I don't understand why they're not fighting fire with fire.
This is not a partisan issue.
No, I'm talking about minorities in Congress.
This is not a partisan issue, Jason. Good parenting is both sides of the aisle.
No.
Why are you trying to point fingers? Thank you for the call, Jason. Remember the website, michaelsavage.com. Some people, also, big news of the day, of course, Eric Holder claiming that he's come under fire. Why? Because he and the president happen to be African Americans. It's not it. That's not it. Obamacare had nothing to do with race. Many of our failed policies have nothing to do with race. Gary on line one is listening in Michigan on WRJ. Gary, this is John DePietro. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, John. Yeah, this notion that Obama's getting it worse than any other president in history is absolutely retarded. Pardon the word. Cleveland got it.
That's really an unnecessary word. But go ahead. I'll let you continue your thought.
I apologize. Pardon the word. But Cleveland, Jackson, Lincoln, Nixon, they all got attacked by the other side. It's nothing new in politics in America.
You know, thank you for the call, Gary. You're right. And the fact that they would try to make the argument, Eric Holder, and we'll replay some of his comments, But there are plenty of people that have it hard. There are some people, I mean, obviously Eric Holder is thin-skinned. The president is thin-skinned. But I want to talk about, finally, good news, more moms staying home, reversing decades-long decline. More people. Why do you drop your child off at daycare? Well, we can't afford it. Well, what part of afford? What about a smaller car? What about a smaller home? I'm glad to see people are getting back to priorities. People are not listening to these different groups. And what do they say? The father's not important. The parents are not important. Just throw them into school. The community will raise your child. The school will raise your child. Wrong! You raise your child. You're responsible for your child. Why? Someone is listening right now. Why is your child in daycare? There are plenty of people, according to the study, that were working and are still working by choice. That's not the most important job that you could have. Line two is James listening in Boise, Idaho. James is on the Savage Nation. Hello, James.
Hey, I was just going to say my wife, she stayed home the first 2 years of my son's life, and then she got a job working at a daycare so she could continue to raise our son. And first 4 or 5 years of his life, you know, it was just mom, and, you know, I got to spend a lot of time with him as well, but it was a great experience. He's 16 now. He's a very well-rounded, secure, comfortable kid, smart. I can't say enough about raising a kid, having a parent stay at home with your child, because I think it's extremely important.
It is. And James, I don't know about you. Do you like being woken up when you're sleeping, James?
No, absolutely.
I don't like being woken up. How would you like it if I came into your bedroom in the morning, rushed you to wake up, rushed you to get dressed, and threw you in the car? Would you like that, James? I don't think so, James. Thank you for the call. And I don't think a one-year-old likes it. And I don't think a two-year-old likes it. So finally, people are fighting back. For people, fighting is the wrong word. At least they're saying, you know what, I'm going to do what's important. Think of the beautiful nature of a child who, you go in, is there anything better than a young child content asleep in their own home? Waking up when maybe they're tired. Maybe their brain is growing. Why are you going to wake them up? Well, we have to. I can't afford it. I'm a single parent. That's one thing. I understand that. Well, we have to. We both have to work. All right. People have to make sacrifices. I get that. But what's great about this story, again, that was in the Wall Street Journal, is more moms are making the decision. I don't need this whole foolishness of you can have it all. I don't need, you know, you need your career. You need to show that you're important. That parenting is not an easy job. Line nine is Donna, who's listening in Maryland on WMAL. Donna, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very kindly. I want to say that I remember the days of the quote-unquote supermom, and I always wondered how on earth people would juggle it. So my husband and I made a decision, and I'm a late bloomer mom, to have my child late in life so that I could be at home. And now that my child, like the previous caller, has gotten older, the benefits are so far-reaching. You end up with someone who's confident, self-assured, well-adjusted, faithful, value-driven. It's amazing, the benefits. And, you know, I don't always pat myself on the back. I think there's always room for improvement. But I will say that even to this day, my child has learned to listen and be a good listener, and he has discernment. Those are all the tools we need when the tide is against us like now, and I refuse to buy into the false narrative that we've been fed all these years that you can have it all and do everything. Forget having it all. The real value is in your God and your family and all those things that really matter in your life.
Donna, excellent. Thank you for the call. And on top of that, you know, it's no shock. It's a great investment. And again, this is good news. More moms staying home. The stay-at-home mom. 1-855-450-3733. 400 Savage. Now, if you disagree, I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a chance to make your argument why, or you feel bad, or you feel guilt, or you feel that people regard you as a lousy parent. It's not about that. It's not about you. It's about the child. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. We'll come back with more on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call
1-855-400-SAVAGE, 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for the one and only, the defender of the faith, the king of all men, Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Talking about a story that's in the Wall Street Journal. More moms staying home. What? It's okay to be a stay-at-home mom? Apparently it is. After years of being told, go out into the workforce. Don't just stay at home with your kid. Nope. People are not listening. Parents are staying home, realizing the importance of it. I think it's tremendous. Line 6, Carol is listening on WDRC in Connecticut. Carol, this is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm so happy that more women are staying home, because when I was raising my son, I got a lot of flack that I should be out working, and what am I going to do at home all day? Well, I found plenty of things to do at home, and it was nice waiting for him after school and giving him snacks and doing things together. And I feel that women should be home with their
Carol, can you imagine how insulting, Carol? What are you going to do at home at home all day? How about?
And I want to go back to work, but my husband wouldn't let me.
Good. Good. There's a loving husband. There's a loving husband. Thank you for the call, Carol. There's someone looking out for his family. What are you going to do all day? You know, I received a tweet on Twitter directed at me. I don't necessarily agree with it, but as someone who stays at home, here's the tweet. I feel that women that put their kids in daycare don't love their children as much as stay-at-home moms. I think that's harsh. I don't think it's a matter of that. I think it's a matter of sometimes some people have a choice, some people don't have a choice. Miriam on line 2 is in Redwood City, California, listening on KSFO. Miriam, you're on the Savage Nation.
Well, I work out in the public, and I see a lot of young fathers who are stay-at-home fathers with their children. I see that a lot. I see them pushing the buggy wagon, and I see them put them in the big car, and I see them taking them shopping, the kids. And so I don't know, either they're divorced or the mother is working, and from another gender, you know.
No, it could be. Thank you for the call. It could be that, Miriam. But it also could just be the fact that maybe the spouse, the wife works, but at least one parent is home. Can we agree that at least one of the parents is home? I think that's wonderful to hear that a father is out and with the child. But at least one parent is home. 1-855-400-7282. Remember, the website is michaelsavage.com. We're going to come back and take more of your phone calls. This is John DePietro sitting in for Michael Savage. And this is the Savage Nation. One 855 400 savage, 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for the one and only Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Remember our website, michaelsavage.com. You can also find me on Twitter. It's John DePietro, DePetro, no I's, John DePietro Show on Twitter. Talking about a story, a variety of things. Number one, Wall Street Journal, more moms staying home, reversing decades-long decline. I say it's about time. I'd like to see something like that. I think for so long, people were told, as one of the callers said, you can have it all. You don't need to be home. What are you going to do all day? And then what are we faced with? A Kardashian generation. Kids that have to be on prescription drugs. Kids that can't behave. I've seen the family on the airline. I've seen the family getting ready to go away on the big vacation. And they think, you know, here it is. We have two children. We're finally going to go away. We're going to take them to Disney World or Disneyland. And And what happens? They get on the plane. Kids can't behave. Kids can't sit down. Kids won't listen to direction. Parents, the family vacation becomes a nightmare. It's not like that. You should be with your child the bulk of the day, not a stranger. Think how long you waited to have that little gift, that little child. And then you just dump it off with a stranger? Why? For what? For the third car? For the big vacation? For the brand new home? That's not important. I'd be willing to bet if you're a mom listening right now, or a parent, and your child is in daycare, you know what? I would be willing to bet that your child wouldn't mind riding in an older car, wouldn't mind living in a smaller home, wouldn't mind that you don't get to take certain vacations. They would trade that for you to be home with them. I'd be willing to bet that. Children that are home with their parents, they're calmer. They're better behaved. Their parents know them better. They can tell when there's something wrong. They have more of a closeness. Who would want to be woken up 6:30 in the morning? All right, hurry up. Let's get the clothes on. We're going to rush them in the car. Blah, blah, blah. It's terrible to do to children. I'm so glad to see this, and I'm enjoying hearing various stories of people that have made sacrifices to make this happen. 1-855-400-7282. Line 1 is Shannon, who's in Boise, Idaho, listening. Shannon, you're on the Savage Nation. Hello.
Hello. I am a stay-at-home mom and have been for about 13, 14 years. I started out with our first child. I worked for the first, I'd say, year and a half. We did have the extra money. You know, we lived a little bit easier. And then we saw, you know, with our daughter in daycare that it's not what you really want to do. Just like you said, you rush your kid off to a place where they're just not being raised with your values and how you want them to be raised. So we made the decision that I'll stay home.
You know what else, Shannon? Yeah. They're not, let's face it, they're not loved. I mean, the people, no matter how great the daycare, they don't love your child. I mean, you know, the way anyone would kind of, you know, like, and of course a little tiny baby is cute, but when they hold them, I mean, but they don't love them the way that you do. And they can't. It would be impossible for them to do that. So
you need to bond with your children because you're what they have to count on for the rest of their life, not who's going to be in daycare, who's going to be there in 6 months in daycare.
That is exactly right, Shannon. Thank you for the call. Line 8 is Mark. He's calling from Connecticut on WDRC. Mark, this is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation, Mark.
Hey, Mr. Savage, better look over his shoulder. You're doing a great job.
I doubt that, but thank you very much, Mark.
Listen, I'm 54. I made a lot of horrible decisions in my life, but along with my wife, the best decision I ever made was 20 years ago to start a family, was that she was going to stay home. Unfortunately, in my town, you need 2 incomes, so I work 2 jobs, and that's fine. And you just described us to a T. We are in a smaller home in this town. I'm driving my 12-year-old pickup truck right now, and my wife's in her 8-year-old mini wagon, and a lot of sacrifices for material things. But along with our decision to have kids, a lot of our couples, our friends who are couples who decide to have kids about the same time, as now 20 years has passed and we get together with these couples, you know, over the years we would drive home and, of course, not in front of the kids, we would talk later. And I don't know if it's just me, but as far as developing socially, there's like a disconnect somewhere with the kids that were all dropped off. The majority of our friends were doing the 2-income. We're both working parents. And, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but I was just going through my observations, and you know, we get together, and over the years, we just realized early on, maybe really 2-3 years in, we made the right decision, and 20 years later, she's still at home with the 14-year-old, and I wouldn't give it back for anything. And getting back to the disconnect, I wouldn't say they don't love their kids as much, but a couple of our friends are teachers, and one thing is, I didn't realize with daycare, is that you need to pay for the whole school year. And so
when they had weeks off, spring vacation, winter vacation, they would, not the whole week, one or two of those days, they would drop the kids off and have a day off to go do whatever, shop. And that used to kill me. I'd be like, wow, that's their one opportunity to be home with their kids. How could you drop them off?
I don't know. I'll tell you, that is a great story, Mark. And Mark, you are, I mean, you are a man. And you're a man, thank you for the call, looks out for your family and have done the right things. And no, it's not a matter. And again, I want to be very clear. There are some people that don't have a choice. There are some people, it's all they can do. I'm not advocating. I'm going off this story. It was a study, Pew Center, from the Wall Street Journal. More moms staying home, being stay-at-home moms. This is not, no one is advocating that someone should be on welfare than home with their children. No one is advocating that people that have no choice and have to put their children in daycare so they can afford just the roof of their home. No one is advocating that. This has to do with people, the word I just used, that have a choice and now are choosing, you know what, for these few years that are so important, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to be there when they wake up and I'm going to be with them all day. That's what I think it's the most important. The parent is with the child the bulk of the day. The parent, either the mother or the father, are with that child more than any other adult. More. Someone may say, and someone sent me a note, my grandparents or the child's grandparents, their parents, our in-laws watch the child. That's the best we can do. I think that's terrific, a family member. But what is great about this is when women, given the choice now, they're not just saying, well, you know, I got to go out into the workforce, so we're going to fall behind. It's not a matter of that. They're doing what I think is best for the children, and they'll be rewarded with how the children turn out. Kids that are home with their parents, they're more relaxed, they're better behaved, they have a better sense of themselves. I've been in line. I've been in line at Christmas time. Kids waiting for Santa. You can pick out the daycare kids. They can't behave. They can't. The parents cannot control them. They can't sit still. It's sad. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, in addition to talking about this, it's sad also, not on the same level, but just the Attorney General Eric Holder embarrassingly throwing out that he has experienced unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly divisiveness since he and the president have been in office, completely playing himself as a victim. When no one, who's gotten more opportunities than Eric Holder? No one, other than maybe, obviously, the president. So we have been discussing that as well. Line 5 is Chris in San Jose, listening on KSFO. Chris, this is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation, Chris.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to comment. You had a caller earlier named Michael. He had called in, and he made a reference to the Joe Wilson, you lie comment, and saying how Obama's the only president who's ever received treatment such as this, and that's actually inaccurate. I remember back in 2005 when President George Bush was giving his State of the Union, he was starting to talk about Social Security, when the entire Democratic Party stood up, started laughing at Bush and pointing their fingers and mocking him, and then it must have went on for almost 30 seconds before they all started to sit down, and then Bush could proceed with his comments. And you know, this perception that these things are only happening to Obama, it's inaccurate, and it's like the supporters of Obama are jumping on some sort of a bandwagon instead of really realizing the facts that are out there.
That is exactly right, Chris. Thank you for the call. I mean, when you go back, come on, the press was brutal to President Bush. Brutal to President Bush. How about the press towards Romney in the campaign, if anything? Regardless, Republican, Democrat, whatever, you have to at least admit, prior to the second term, this administration was basically given a free pass. No one wanted to criticize the president, his administration, and I mean nobody. Brad on line 7 is listening in Lancaster, Pennsylvania on WSBA. Brad, it's John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation, Brad.
Yes, sir. Just had comments on both those subjects. Number one, I run for public office and defeated a woman candidate. And, of course, ever since then, I was labeled by her and her followers as being sexist. The reason, I guess, is because I dared to challenge a female in public office and engage in public debate. And so, you know, this is not old. I've experienced it myself. Unfortunately, it seems to be used to try to avoid public debate responsibility for the record, or just to avoid you know, any kind of responsible public debate. It's a cheap line, and unfortunately, I've had it used against me as well. Also, I wanted to just say that the best investment you can make in your children is your time. It's not only the best thing for the kids, it's the best thing for the parents. You end up with well-adjusted children and well-adjusted parents. As a parent of a great 23-year-old young man, I can also testify to that. So thank you for both those subjects today.
Thank you very much for the call, Brad. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. I want to play one more time, cut 7. This is Eric Holder, who suggests House Republicans being racist for being tough on him in a hearing. This is your Attorney General, Eric Holder.
I am pleased to note that the last 5 years have been defined by significant strides and by lasting reforms, even in the face of unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly, and divisive adversity.
Listen to the audience starting to cheer him on a little bit. He gave that speech, the National Action Network in New York. National Action Network, that is Reverend Al Sharpton's organization. And what's the effort to advance racial equality? And Holder certainly played to the crowd. 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. You're listening to the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. For well over a decade, I've been singing the praises of Swiss America. I told you they offer the best gold education, fair prices, and great service. Today I have a perfect example. Here's a letter my listener, Nadine in Florida, sent. Quote, Dear Swiss America, I heard about you on the Michael Savage program. I called the phone number, and you sent me a book, which I read. I would never have known how to make the transfer of investments without the expertise of your company. Swiss America has given me the confidence to make this change. Now I know that I own something tangible for my future, instead of paper that's rapidly becoming worthless. Thanks, Nadine. Listeners, today I urge you to do what Nadine did. You call Swiss America at 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. Do it now. Learn before you earn. And get their new Timeless Truth DVD for free. What have you got to lose? It all starts with a single call. 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. Who knows? The next thank you letter I read on air may be yours. 800-289-2646.
Yo, man, come on. The girls are waiting.
Hold on a sec.
What could be more important?
I downloaded this free app called RDIO, like radio, without the A.
Oh, jeez.
It blows Pandora and Spotify away with 20 million songs and allows me to get all my music where and when I want.
Come on, man. The girls are waiting.
Did you know you can get new releases the same day the songs come out?
The girls are waiting.
RDIO is so easy to use that I could sit here all night and create playlists.
Forget it. The girls bailed. Download the RDIO free app today to start your musical journey.
Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. Colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a non-profit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans' hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old.
1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-7282. Remember, the website is michaelsavage.com. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Line 5 is Debbie, who's listening in New Mexico, KKOB. Debbie's on The Savage Nation. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, John. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to comment. I am from the generation that started the you-can-have-it-all thing. I chose to stay at home with my children, but it's a myth. You cannot have it both ways. It's kind of like having your cake and eating it, too. You can't do it, because either way, either the kids suffer from not having mom around, or the kids suffer from not having mom around.
That is exactly right, Debbie. And it's thank you for the call. And it's unfortunate that that was a myth put out. And that's why this story that was in the Wall Street Journal, more stay-at-home moms. That's why it is refreshing, and people realizing when they have to choose between one or the other, it is better to choose for one of the parents to remain home with the children. Line 2 is Mark in Kansas City listening on KCMO. Mark, you're on The Savage Nation.
Okay, I think I can't agree with Debbie more, but I also think that it's also generational, and women... My age, I'm 37, and women, I'd say from 30 to 40, have grown up in this society where they feel either like they need to work or they don't need to stay home with their children. That was one of the big issues that I had when I was married. We were divorced now, but that really became a major issue. The other point that I have is, even though one parent can't stay home every time, like in my situation, our kids are still not hooligans, and we still raise our children with morals and good values. Our situation just doesn't work with somebody staying home.
And Mark, you said your wife, this was a big issue, contention. She did not want to stay home with the children?
Correct.
Huh, why? What was so important, Mark? She wanted to be in the office. She just didn't want to be home.
A nurse. She wanted to be a nurse and become a nurse practitioner. And we had, a 2-year-old at the time, a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and then a 10-year-old.
Did not want to stay home. Mark, thank you for the call. Again, the website is michaelsavage.com. I want to thank Neil and Eric. This has been John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and you've been listening to The Savage Nation.